Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we are so thankful that through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed. That for all of us who trust and follow Jesus, Lord, we belong to you. You have us in your grasp and you will not let us go. And so, Lord, we pray now that by your word and by your Holy Spirit, you would renew our minds and that you would renew our focus on Jesus. Help us, Lord, to persevere, to press on in faith, trusting you all along the way. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue along this pathway, I believe God wants to remind us tonight of the importance of prayer. The Bible tells us that we are able to boldly approach the throne of God's grace through prayer. And we're able to do that because at the cross, Jesus opened the way to God for all people. Through Christ, we are able to approach Almighty God. Jesus said, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. But if you have repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He is the mediator through which you can boldly approach God's throne of grace. And sometimes I forget about the privilege of prayer. Sometimes I feel like I'll just pull myself up by my bootstraps and take care of it on my own. But you know, the Bible says that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So why would we even try? So tonight, I believe God's going to use the story of Elijah to remind us of the power of prayer. And I want to give you this theme tonight. When regular people pray in faith, God answers. When regular people pray in faith, God answers. Elijah is the most famous prophet by far, but he's still just a regular human being created in the image of God. And he trusted and followed God and was called by God to deliver God's message. And he did. What do we know about Elijah? Well, we know that he was a Tishbite of Tishbe. And we know that he predicted a drought because he was told by God to tell the evil King Ahab of Israel that in judgment of Ahab's behavior, a drought would come. And so he did. He went before the king and he predicted that drought. Then as he was out in the drought, he asked a widow of Zarephath if she would give him some water and give him a morsel of bread. But the widow of Zarephath was struggling herself. And she said, I would love to help you, but I don't have enough. I only have enough to take care of me and my son to have one more meal before we die. And Elijah, trusting the Lord, says, if you'll give me a morsel of bread and some water, God will supply your need. And indeed he did. And the widow of Zarephath then invited him to come and lodge with her. And as the days passed, this widow's son became sick and he died. And God used Elijah to raise the boy from the dead. Elijah was an instrument in the hands of Almighty God to bring this boy from the dead back to life. And then we all know about the amazing confrontation of Elijah with Ahab and Jezebel, Ahab's wife. We know that there on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal gathered against Elijah, who alone stood for the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know that God led Elijah to call them to a test to see whose God was God. Would it be Baal who would prove himself to be God, or would it be Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who would prove himself to be God? And so there on Mount Carmel, at the instruction of Elijah, they built two altars, one built by the prophets of Baal to Baal, one built by Elijah unto God. They each had a bull to sacrifice, and Elijah said, prophets of Baal, y'all go first. Whichever God brings down fire from heaven to consume the offering, then he is God. And so the prophets of Baal did all the things that they were used to doing to try to get Baal to respond to them. They chanted and they danced. They even cut themselves. And frankly, Elijah was a little sarcastic with him. He said, if y'all would just yell a little bit louder, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe he is musing. Maybe he's even relieving himself. But no fire came. And then Elijah whispered a prayer to his God. And God brought down fire such that it consumed not only the offering, but also the altar and also the water that was poured on top of it, because Elijah so trusted in the hand of Almighty God that he had them pour water on top of the altar. The fire from heaven came and consumed it all, even the stones that surrounded the altar. And the people said, God, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. We know that Elijah was a prophet of Almighty God, but he was a regular man who trusted God. And we know that after he slaughtered the 450 prophets of Baal, that Jezebel, Ahab's wife, said, may worse happen to me if I do not make you have the same outcome my prophets had. And so she threatened his life, and he ran, and he hid. And he was exhausted, and he was depressed. And he said, it is enough, Lord. I'm no better than my fathers. Let my life come to an end. And in that moment of darkness in Elijah's life, he trusted the Lord, and the Lord sustained him. It's interesting how the Lord sustained him. He gave him rest, he gave him food, and he gave him a sense that God was with him. And he strengthened him for the next leg of his journey, that Elijah would call Elisha to come after him, and that Elijah would one day be taken away by the chariots of fire into heaven. Elijah didn't even have to experience death, for God came and assumed him, took him up into heaven. But Elijah was just a regular man who trusted God. And in James chapter 5, James, the brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, tells us in verses 17 and 18 that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So James tells us that Elijah was a man just like us. He was a human being just like you and me. And he prayed fervently, and God answered his prayer, and no rain was given. But then upon his prayer, God answered his prayer, and the rain came 3.5 years later. Now, he had to persist in prayer. If you remember the account, when God said the rain would come, Elijah sent his servant to look, and there was no sign of rain anywhere. And he sent his servant back again a second time, and there was no sign of rain. And his servant returned to him, and he sent him back again a third time, and there was no sign of rain. And his servant returned to him, and he sent him back again a fourth time, and there was no sign of rain. And so his servant returned to him. So he sent him back a fifth time, and there was no sign of rain. So his servant returned to him. And then he sent him back a sixth time, and there was no sign of rain, so his servant returned to him. And then he sent him back a seventh time, and there was a cloud the size of a man's fist, a cloud the size of a man's hand. And the servant returned and said, there is a cloud. And Elijah knew that God was answering his prayer. Now, you may have wondered, why, preacher, did you just go through the trouble of repeating that so many times? Because sometimes that's what God expects us to do in prayer. He expects us to persist in prayer, even though it doesn't look like an answer is coming. Perhaps he expects us to trust God enough to return yet again, yet again, yet again, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, to keep trusting, and to keep taking our petition before Almighty God. And it may not look like much is happening, but remember that God is moving in ways you cannot now perceive. So keep praying. If you're taking notes, at the bottom of your notes, I've quoted James 5:16 in the King James Version. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me break that down for us. It talks about the effectual prayer. What does that mean? It means it's effective. It's a prayer that works. It's a prayer that is answered. But it's not just effectual, it is fervent. What does fervent mean? It means displaying a passionate intensity. That a fervent prayer that is offered to God, perhaps repeatedly, availeth much. What does that mean? It accomplishes much. It has great power in its outworking. So let me ask you these questions tonight. Are you fervent? Are you fervent in your prayers? Are you fervent in the prayers that you are lifting for those around you? Are you fervent in the prayers that you are lifting for yourself? You know, some people feel like it's a selfish thing to pray for yourself. Can I tell you something? It is the most humbling thing in the world to pray for yourself. Because when you go before God to pray for needs that you have in your life, what you are saying is, God, I'm powerless to do anything about this. But I believe that you are powerful to do all things, that nothing is impossible for you. And so, Lord, in my weakness, I petition your strength. I humble myself and I bow before you. Are you fervent in your prayer? Well, I have to tell you, you will be. So how do you become fervent in prayer? I struggle with fervor in prayer. Here's how. You hurt. And when you're experiencing pain, you will be fervent in prayer. Some of us during this COVID-19 crisis have prayed like we've never prayed before. Because we, or people we love, or people in our community, or around our world are hurting. And pain drives us to our knees in fervent prayer. Because pain reveals to us our weakness. But the good news is that God said that in our weakness, then we are strong. Isn't that weird? Why would God say that it is in our weakness that we find our strength? Here's why. When I realize that I am weak, I will finally quit trying to fix it myself, and I will trust Almighty God. That doesn't mean that I don't do the right things in the right way, at the right time, with the right heart. No, I do the things that I can do. But there comes a point when you've done all you can do, and you trust God. And that's the way that God grows us. Remember, Tommy Nelson said, God brings us to the edge of our humanity, to the edge of our ability, and he calls us to take another step, a step in faith, trusting him. So are you fervent? You will be. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says, availeth much. Are you righteous? Well, let me tell you something. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, there's only one way to be righteous. And that's not that you're good enough. It's that you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. So today, are you righteous? If not, you can be. You can become righteous by turning away from your lifestyle of sin and saying, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross in my place to pay the price for my sin, that the third day you arose from the grave and you live today. Lord, I turn away from my life of sin and I turn toward you. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I trust and follow you. The Bible says that when you turn away from sin and toward Christ, receiving him as your Lord and Savior, that his righteousness becomes yours. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake God made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there are many times when I go before the Lord and say, Lord, my only righteousness is found in Christ. And so, Lord, I appeal to the righteousness of Christ even now as I stand before you to boldly approach your throne of grace. I can come only through the finished work of Jesus. But, Lord, I come through the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection, and I ask for your help. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It has great power as it is working. And so, let me encourage you. Elijah, He was just a human being, just like you and me. But he trusted and followed God. He humbled himself before Almighty God. And God gave him a powerful ministry because he didn't minister for his own glory, but he acted for the glory of Almighty God. You know, as you and I do that, as you and I trust God, as you and I follow Jesus and seek not our own glory but his, God will come through in amazing ways. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, we humble ourselves before you again, saying that you are God and we are not. And you are strong and we are weak. And so, Lord, we come to you asking that you would help us to know that it is by your strength and by your grace that we continue along life's pathway. We pray that you would help us to be faithful, and we pray that you would give us the strength that we need to navigate these days. And as we prepare to face the rest of this week, we join yet again our hearts and our minds and our voices in praying that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and in so doing, we'll answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight. We would invite you to tune in on Friday at 6:30, where we will say together, O Lord, give me Jesus. God bless you.